Our study in the book of Proverbs continues in the 13th chapter, and we're continuing verse 22, which we had begun in our last study. The 22nd verse reads like this: "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." This proverb shows how that the attitude of good people makes their estates last, and a good man will take thought for his children and for their children. He does not unnecessarily consume all his wealth on himself, but he uses careful management of his wealth to conserve it. And so to do this, a good person will have to follow God's laws of prosperity. And the first law, which we discussed last time, was to engage in gainful godly employment, some kind of work that brings about productive income. And we gave several scriptures for this: 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12, Ephesians 4, 28. Those three show that we should be in gainful employment. A second part of God's law of prosperity is that we contribute part of our income to God's work. And we showed how that in 1 Corinthians 16:2 that we're taught to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. As God has prospered us, there'd be no gatherings when I come, which means be no gatherings when Paul would come to take the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And also in 2 Corinthians 6:6-12, he also alludes to that collection. There he says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So we're to give according to what we can afford to give. And we're to not do it grudgingly, as though we're required to, as though here's a certain amount you have to meet every time, but do it out of a desire to want to give. That the kind of giver that God wants is a cheerful giver, one who wants to give. And he says that if you do it sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. So that we're going to be prospered in regard to the way that we give here. He further says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." So we can't give so much that it's going to make us poor. We can't outgive God. God's going to make all grace abound to us. He's able to do that, and he promised to do that according to what we sow. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. You know of no one who's been impoverished because of what he's given to the cause and the work of God. And the third part of this God's law of prosperity is that to have godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for it brought nothing into this world, it certainly can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content." So the good man is going to follow these principles of the God's law of prosperity, and he's going to be able then to provide not only for himself, but for his children and his children's children. The good man trains his children to follow these principles so they too may leave an estate to their children. A good man, by being good and doing good, by honoring the Lord with his substance and spending it in his service, secures it to his posterity. Or even if he does not have much of this world's goods to leave, there is also a spiritual estate which a good person will leave. His prayers, his teaching, his good example of how to please God will allow the promises of God's word to be an inheritance to his children's children. This is the most important estate of all. But it's a different story with the wealth of the sinner, the ungodly person. Somehow the providence of God works against his children's children, having the benefit of his earthly estate. A proverb here says, "The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." In God's wisdom, the just get more benefit than the sinner's family. Just how and when this great principle works, we're not told. But we do know that God does control how much benefit we get from the wealth we acquire. A person can make millions and lead a very unhappy life, get no pleasure from the riches, and have a very poor quality of life. While a person with modest income can have a full, happy, healthy existence and have a high quality of life. So the conclusion is, the amount of benefit received by a person's wealth is dependent upon whether that person is a good person or a sinner. So let's read the proverb again. Verse 22, King James says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." NIV words it, "A good man leaves his inheritance for the children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." The next proverb is in verse 23. There he says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." NIV says, "A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away." The word for judgment, mishpat, has the basic meaning of a verdict which was produced judicially. It is found about 300 times in the Bible. It includes the idea of a judgment, a sentence, a formal decree, justice, right, privilege, place of judgment, cause, suit, crime, guilt, law, rule, ordinance, custom, manner, and what is due. It is a many-faceted word with deep meaning. This is an extremely important word for the proper understanding of all government, human or divine. This word refers to all functions of government, not just the judicial process. This noun was also used to describe any aspect of civil or religious government in the Old Testament. This word can refer to the process of litigation, the act of deciding a case brought before a magistrate, the place of deciding a case, the decision of the magistrate, or a specified time of judgment. Of course, all authority belongs to Jehovah God. Justice is primarily an attribute of God. Genesis 18:25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord loves judgment. Psalm 37:28, "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Judgment is rooted in the character of God and ought to be found in godly people. Psalm 37:30, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." Proverbs 12:5, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Among the extended meanings of this word are a person's rights under the law. If one's rights under the law are taken away, then this can have an adverse effect upon his or her prosperity and quality of life. The government, the type of government, and the quality of government can affect the prosperity of its people. This is where an application can be made very accurately to this proverb found here in Proverbs 13:23. Let us see how this proverb does apply. The estate of a poor person, although it may be very small, can be productive if it is properly worked. This includes any kind of gainful employment which a person may have. Whatever the poor man's employment is becomes his field or his tillage, so by making the best of everything, a person may live comfortably on it. Our verse says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor." This could be poor farmers who have but little, but they take good care of it. Or it could apply to any other honorable occupation. The more skill in labor, the better the reward. It's better to dig than to beg. Even a poorly organized welfare system can affect prosperity by causing people to lose the proper incentive to work. But it does not matter how great an estate is, it can be ruined by want of justice or by want of a proper government. The International Version says, "Injustice sweeps it away." The estate can be ever so great, but it is destroyed for a want of judgment or by an unwanted government. You may have saved a lot during a lifetime of hard work for your retirement, and an unjust government can take it all away overnight. A government which has just and equitable laws for its people can be more of a factor in the benefits received from an estate than the size of the estate. This fact is very obvious today as we look at the nations of the world. The prosperity of a nation does not depend on the climate, the abundance of the natural resources, or the industry of its people. Nations such as Africa may have a wonderful climate, abundant natural resources, hard-working people, but it may be in dire poverty. Nations with climates which have hard winters and lacking in many of the natural resources may be very prosperous, such as Japan and the United States. The determining factor in the prosperity of these nations is the justness of their governments. As the government becomes more just, more friendly to the people, and more agreeable to the needs of the people, the nations become more prosperous. The people are willing to work harder and sacrifice more for that type of government, thus they are much more prosperous. This is the truth that has been in the Bible all along, but has yet to be discovered by most of the world's leaders. Although our government here in the United States ranks high among the governments of the world in justness, even it could make much improvement along this line. If it did become more of a just government with equitable laws and proper enforcement, we would be a much more prosperous nation. How very basic are the great truths in the Bible? This great principle will also apply to institutions other than national governments. It applies to large and small businesses, all families, and most importantly, to the church. The general well-being of any family will be severely affected by treating any of its members unjustly. In the church, where there is love, each member will have just and fair treatment in every way. When will humans learn how to get along? The principles taught in this proverb apply to all of us in our everyday lives. Each of us, as we get more responsibility in our families, jobs, or church congregations, have the ability to be more just or unjust to those with whom we deal. These are our everyday associates, family, job, church, etc. In a country where there is true justice, that is, where there are just and equitable laws that are applied equally to all, even the poor can produce goods that will adequately meet their needs. What a powerful lesson in economics and sociology from God's Word. Each of us needs to apply this principle to our lives to the best of our abilities every day. So let's read the proverb again. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. A poor man's field, NIV says, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. This is a lesson which all governments need to learn, all people need to learn. We have the ability to produce and take care of ourselves if we just have the right kind of government to help us to keep that and not have it taken away. Our next proverb is found in verse 24. This is Proverbs 13:24. It reads like this: He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And the word betimes means quickly. NIV reads it like this: He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. This proverb has some very deep and meaningful teaching for us. It is one of the basic principles that we need to know in order to properly treat our families like they should be treated, in order to raise our children like they should be raised. We're going to not be able to get through all the teaching we want to give on this proverb in this one lesson. As we look at the book of Proverbs in general, it contains very good instruction for how to train a child. We can find no better source for how to raise our children than the Word of God, and we would like to look at some of the passages which deal with this subject in the book of Proverbs. It's introduced in this 24th verse here, talking about sparing the rod and hating the son, and to chasten him when he needs to be chastened. That's the subject we're talking about. So let's look at some of these verses. In Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now the instruction of the father, the law of the mother, are to be worn, or to be used like we would an ornament about the neck. Your parents' teachings will make you a graceful person. Proverbs 2, 1 and 5, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We're to listen to what the parents say. And Solomon is saying here, listen to what I'm telling you. My instruction will lead you to respect God and to get knowledge from Him. The parents' instruction should be the thing that leads into the instruction given by God. Learn respect for the parent, then you easily can learn respect for God. Resent the parent, and you will probably resent God and all other authority. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4, My son, forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. He says, listen to what I tell you. Wrap it around you. Live it out in every area of your life. Make it a part of your very being, the instruction I'm giving you. Forget not my law, he says. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Again in Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. This is the message from a faithful father. Solomon shows that he also had a faithful father and mother, and was taught by them. His father was David, his mother was Bathsheba. So Solomon is passing the same teaching to his children, which he received from his parents. This is the way it should be. This instruction was given with love, and the instruction we receive from our parents should be the same instruction we can pass on to our children for the most part. Proverbs 4, verses 10 through 13. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Again in Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Again in Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding by thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Here again, he is cautioning his son to keep the words and commandments that he's given him. Let them be a protection against the strange woman, the flattering woman, the woman who will lure him into adultery. Again in Proverbs 8, 32 and 33. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Proverbs 13, 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 15, 5. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So we see that the Bible is teaching over and over here and here that the child should hear the instruction of the parent. Of course, the parent has to give the instruction for it to be heard. And the parent has to give it with authority, maybe, for it to be heard. The parent has to take charge of the situation. The parent must insist that the child give him respect. And that's why our verse 24 here says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And he's going to require the son to the child to give respect. Then can the child be in a position to receive this teaching from the parent. We're also shown in the book of Proverbs the result of not teaching the children properly and failing to instill in them the principles of God. In Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 17, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. This passage refers to rebellious children. Those that think they have all the answers, but they have never been washed from their filthiness. These are the ones that are so difficult to deal with. These are the ones that have not received the discipline they should have had. And so as they go out into society, they form a force of evil. They form a force that goes against the laws that provide for good society and good relationships and safe and happy and productive lives. And it's all because they really didn't receive the kind of discipline they should have had as a child. And we can ask ourselves, does this generation sound like our generation? Is this does our generation curse their father and not bless their mother? Is our generation one that's pure in their own eyes and is not yet washed from the filthiness? What kind of a generation do we have? Is this descriptive of the way our society is today? And in many ways we can see that it is. Now, I'm not saying that every time a child goes astray and doesn't do what's right in the eyes of God that it's always the parents' fault. But I am saying that unless they get this basic teaching here, they're going to be much, much more apt to go astray and to go against what God wants. We plan to continue this subject in our next lesson, and we're going to ask the question in our next lesson, how do we bring about the obedience that the child should have? But we must close at this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.